But it's good to be back. It's good to, we will talk on Sunday. I won't go into it because on Sunday we have a whole presentation that we will give about the trip. And then, but I will reveal my secret dream is that they want to have a woman's conference there in about a year. And I would love for us to go as the women of York. So really pray. I think it's doable, and I have pictures to entice you even. We definitely made sure that we got everything we needed to entice for you to go. But we have the perfect place, little farm inn. It's halfway on a, what we call it, like a little wildlife reserve. If you want to, you can pet little little cubs, tiger cubs, and giraffes, and the whole nine yards. They're on that same place. Very safe, though. Very. You don't have to worry about, okay, what about modern amenities and all of that. All of that's there. I made sure of that. No more than here. No, it's a nice facility. So I was saying that Sunday morning we'll talk a little bit more about our trip, but my big hope is that I really would love the women of York, all ages, to consider going maybe next year to have and it's a safe place all ages could go. I made sure I thought of every person and all of their potential needs, and I made sure that this is the perfect place. And they really would love us to come. And I would let you get a taste to see if you ever, if you've never done it once in your life, to at least to be able to see a work of God out there.
Yes, that would be absolutely
beautiful. So I'm really going to pray for that end and push toward that end. I think it's possible, doable, and there's not anyone in this room who couldn't do it.
Yep.
We spent half of our time looking at it 15 different ways to make sure. Yeah. You're crazy. This woman was a Trojan there. You'll do it before we would. This woman is adventurous. Yes, you and your little buddy there. Your little traveling buddies.
Very traveling.
Yeah, so we know. We'll talk more about it on Sunday about that. So it'll be great. We do want to pray because next Thursday, so during the day, she will be having her aorta
replaced.
I thought that's what you said, but I couldn't believe it, so I had to ask. Replaced. But they don't have to crack open the chest. They don't have to crack it. They'll go in and through it. And I know.
They're going down to our groin.
Okay. And we want to keep this in prayer because that and Lorraine and still Terry, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She went today and she has to go for the monitor. And
okay.
They might even make her go on the stress test.
Okay, so we just want to keep.
I did all that.
She's been there, done that. Now just getting a replacement aorta, you know. Just like going down to the local 7-Eleven. So we'll pray for that. And then also for, thank God, she seems to be more mobile. But just like Sandra's continued healing in that area. And we'll keep each other in prayer, you know. And just keep, can I say keep you in prayer? We want to keep...
Laura.
No, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I know her name. Okay, but she was doing that when I got distracted. Oh, yeah, keep Laura.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No, go right ahead. I just wasn't sure if I should know something. Yeah, keep Laura in prayer as well. And we're going to keep Jordan in prayer.
Yes.
Yes. We're going to keep Jordan in prayer. How many are going to pray with me for Jordan? Okay, I'm not going to go into details. I'm going to protect her privacy, but if you would just pray with me, because I prayed for Sandra, but probably Jordan had me on my knees most when I was in South Africa. So I really would like us to pray for her,
yes.
And I believe that God's going to do great things with this young woman, and because we're going to pray it. And that's really one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. So let's just believe God for that.
Can you add me in your prayers as well?
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Personal family things going on.
Okay.
I just really need prayers for strength and guidance right now that I can get what I need to have to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish.
Okay. And Connie?
Cindy.
This is Connie, that's Cindy.
Or C's, we know.
Yeah, C's. Okay, so for Cindy, for that, anything else? Get some nutrition.
Thank you.
if anyone else?
Yeah, there's Kathy, Sandy Conklin, that I was supposed to interview, and right before the interview, you know, she had a bad fall, and her kneecap is shattered on one side, and she can't do anything.
Just me.
Really?
Yeah.
So anyway, so she's in distress. She has no one, as far as I know,
to help her
with the laundry or anything.
Oh, wow.
She's kind of helpless.
Okay.
That's it.
And she's located in Baltimore?
York. So
Sandy Conklin.
Sandy Conklin. So I will give you her number.
Yeah, we could. Maybe we can go visit and see what if we can do something.
That,
if we can help her.
Because I sent up a few interviews too, so I was just like.
Yeah, no, maybe. Can you make sure we have that afterwards?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard thing to go through recovery by yourself.
I can't get up and down steps if her washer or dryer in the basement.
I don't even have a washer and dryer.
No.
So I gotta lug all the clothes to the laundromat.
Yeah, no, it's tough when you have to recover. So sometimes, you know, it's just good to keep, help is needed and let everyone know. Like, I don't want really anyone here to, like, not know that there are people who are willing to, you know, we want to help. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, it bothers me when I don't know. So I would rather just know. So these prayers, okay? Definitely. So for Laura, for Mary, for Terry, for Lorraine, for Cindy, and then for Sandy. Sandy and Sandra. Yes.
And Jordan.
Yeah, and Jordan. We're not going to forget you, Jordan. I can't forget you. So we're going to pray to that end. And so just even right now, God, just we lift these prayers. They are precious and important to you. And we believe that you hear and that you do great things. There's no one else that can do these things that you do. You do the secret things. You do the public things. You do the big things. You do the small things. And then I'm quite sure that there's some unnamed requests here, God, even tonight. So we're asking for those things. And you said we're two or more gathered in your name, that you're right there. You're right there. You're right here, God. So we want you to walk amidst your people, and we want to be able to give testimonies, God, of what you've done. And wouldn't that give you the greatest glory? That would be amazing, to give you all the glory and honor that you do. And just, God, we believe you for it. But we just praise you, and we are asking for a special hedge around situations and conditions. And we ask you that you're guiding doctors' hands, and you're giving doctors wisdoms. And like, God, we need all of that. We expect it because we're your children, and why wouldn't a father take good care of his kids?
Amen.
So we're just expecting that, and praise you and believe that for your glory, God. For your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So tonight, this is a little bit on that. We're on the attributes of God. And think of an attribute is to think about basically what is God like. You know, if you were to go and you would say, hey, I want to know Lorraine's attributes. I'm basically asking, what is she like? Okay? And God has a resume that we have looked into. So basically, we have observed God through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then we have made some conclusions. We've drawn some ideas about him. It would be like if you got to know someone for a while, and then you could pull from them. Someone said, "What is so-and-so like?" And you would think of all the things, your experiences. Usually, that's how you would determine what that person's like. Well, I know every time I've seen her in this situation, she's this. She's extra kind. She's a really kind person. You know, she's strong. We would say a lot of things about that person, and we could create a catalog of that person. Now, if it's not God, we could also make a catalog, if you will, and we were earlier doing it, about Satan, right? Yeah. Yeah, we could make a catalog, and we can look at what he's done historically, and we can thank him if he were in person for what he did with Eve, and that would be in and of itself, but something to thank him for. But we look at him and his habits with people, and we hate him with a perfect hatred. because he is never ever going to have an attribute that we would appreciate or that would be directed in goodness toward us. Mm-hmm. So rather, we would celebrate God because greater is God anyway. But it's the more we get to know God, the more power actually we will have over Satan. Isn't that mm-hmm. interesting? Mm-hmm. Because the more I know him, like, you know, the more I know God's strength, the more I internalize that, all these things about God, the more I know who my God is, it's very easy to identify who Satan is, because he will be the opposite. First of all, I'll be able to identify him and who he's like. And then second of all, I'll also be able to understand that God is more powerful. You know, they say this, you know, you've heard this before, and I've been to a federal mint before. I was down in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's interesting to be in a room with like $2 million worth of nickels, different things like that. But one of the things is what we believe. You know, these guys who look at these bills, they do not really look at the counterfeits. They study what the real bill looks like. In a moment, in a second, they can identify a counterfeit. They don't need your pens. They can identify it because that's all they give attention to. If we study, and God and get to know God, then we will be able to identify the counterfeit. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it says that Satan, like, he wants to, he acts, if you will, like an angel of light, right? He wants to dress up like God. Satan wants to dress up like God, okay? And he wants to be, I was listening to a message last night, but like he wants to give me an idea of what pleasure in the world. And this message was directed toward young people. And he wants to give young people this idea that there is pleasure here. So he comes and he tells you this pleasure is good, whether it's marijuana or whether it's whatever it is. And he says this pleasure is great. And it seems that Satan in that moment is kind, but in fact, he's not, because he means no good. Mm-hmm. And really, the attribute of a person is really what they mean. If Connie is kind to me, but really she's plotting my downfall, I hope you're not. But if she's kind to me, right, and she's plotting my downfall, you couldn't really make her attribute kindness, can you? Mm-hmm. Oh, Connie's so kind. Yeah, that's great. She's plotting my downfall. But she's so kind about it. No, but we wouldn't say that's kind.
That's what the devil does.
Exactly. Now, we would say God, when we say he is kind, it means it, because it speaks of the end, mm-hmm. what end he's looking for. There is a kindness to God. Because it means that my end he's looking for is good. Now, the attribute we want to talk about tonight, actually, is God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. I was all set to talk about, and so someone in this room is probably in shock, because I was all set to talk about one attribute, and God really, I just think this is what's on God's heart. God's faithfulness is perhaps... And we can't really say what's more important than the other, but without an understanding of this characteristic of God, it actually colors everything else about him. It messes us up, okay? Because let's just take an instance. If I say God is love, that's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. All right, that's great. And I say, God is love. Or let's just say you're even a guy. This guy loves me. He loves me. So we get married. And within 6 months, he cheats on me. Yeah. Now, would we say that's love? Yeah. But could he say that he... But he did love me. He loved me. He married me. But 6 months later, what happened?
I'd say he lusted you.
Right. Why? Because love has to have a certain element in it for us to consider it love. What's my missing key here? Love has to have a certain element in it in order for us to agree that it's love, or else he wouldn't have cheated.
Trustfulness.
faithfulness, trust. Exactly. Otherwise, we would say, no way. You know, years ago I dated a guy, told me he loved me. You know, and I'm like, okay, you love me. But then there was something that was out of place. You see, because there must be faithfulness. You know, later on, he's dating somebody else. I thought you said, I'm your one and only. Apparently, I'm the one right now. Not the one and only. Because it must have faithfulness. There must be an element of faithfulness. You see, God telling me he loves me and there is no faithfulness, then the question is, do you love me? Are you going to be there? Do you love me tomorrow, God? Will you love me in 20 years? You know, when I got saved, I came to Christ because it said, for God so loved the world. And I realized that. But I got to be honest with you. I'm 30-some years later. And I'm telling you, he loves me. Do you understand? Why? Because there's faithfulness attached to it. He didn't love me, not love me, loves me. Now, when we're kids, loves me, loves me not. Loves me, loves me not. You know, we all got the little things and ripped them off, you know, and then when we finally, okay, he loves me. And then next day he was sitting in class next to somebody else. You know, it's like, this is a fickle kind of love. So faithfulness, it holds them all together. If God says he's everywhere present, and this happened to a woman in the Bible named Hagar, and she got to realize that God was everywhere. But then later on, she needed God again. What if he was not present then? That would be a lack of faithfulness. And could I really say that God is everywhere present if I can find a situation when he's not? Can I say that God is all-powerful if there's a moment when he's not? When he's not faithful to be powerful. Do you see how this is important for us? Mm-hmm. Like, it's important for us to, like, take that in. And what we're going to say, it's going to lead us somewhere. By the end of this, I will say this, and it's not sacrilege, that God would have us write our own Bible. What is she saying? We'll get there. But the first four, it's important for us to know that every attribute, everything that we like about God, if he's not faithful in it, then how can we like it? If he says he's kind, but he's not faithful to be kind, then really, is he kind? Is there anything that you could say about God that him being faithful is not important to that? In fact, 1 John 1:9 says he's both faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said there's no temptation that he is not going to be faithful to give us a way of escape. God is faithful in so many ways. In Revelation, he's called a faithful witness. Later on in the same book of Revelation, he's riding on a horse, and written on the horse is faithful and true. Like he said, I want to write, like here is Christ coming, right? And he's going to write two things about himself. On it. He says, what I want them to see is faithful and true. Because if they learn all the other stuff about me, they will learn that I'm faithful and it's true. And this goes to Hebrews 6, but where he said it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for him. He's not like man that he was going to lie, that his promises he will keep. God's faithfulness is so important for me. In the middle of the night, because that is the projection that will come, that you will be alone, yes. That you will be without aid, that God doesn't see you, that God doesn't hear you, that this situation will go on forever, because the situation will scream louder that it is more faithful than your God is. Amen. Very often, our circumstance, our condition, it screams for attention because it's right in front of me. It screams to say that you need to understand that I'm faithful. But here's the thing, you're limited. And God is not limited by time. The words forever can only apply to him. He is the only one able to say that. So whatever situation I'm in that's screaming at me, that's telling me things won't change, that's telling me that this is the way it's always been. What does always been mean? It's not long enough unless it's been as long as God has been alive. Joseph could have said, it's always been this way because his brothers mistreated him. His brothers then sold him into slavery. He was in prison. It's like he never caught a break. He could easily say, it's always been this way. His father did. His father Jacob said, all these things have happened to me. But then one day, his sons come back and say, oh, by the way, your son Joseph is alive. And whatever you thought was always was, the thing that you thought was you were so sure about, you were so sure that your situation was faithfully lost, you're wrong. And Joseph said, now I'll go to Egypt to see my son. And he did not think he'd live to see that day. God's faithfulness is not based upon what I do or do not think. When we are faithless, he abides faithful. Period. It is not a mark, you know, in a sentence you can put dot, 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 called an ellipsis, meaning like, we'll see what happens. No, it is always going to be the same. God is always going to come through. The righteous have never been forsaken. There is not a person sitting in heaven today who is not pointing to the horse that is ready to go that has faithful and true on it. There's not a person in heaven that says that God didn't catch me, God didn't meet me. No one, only people on earth are saying that because our reality seems so real to us. Mm-hmm. It seems so long because it's been a year. It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. It's been 20 years. But here's the thing. You tell me your situation. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit back here and tell you that that's your always reality. God has been since before time, and he has never been proven unfaithful. He says, I will keep the thing that you've committed to me. I will keep it. I will keep. I, the Lord, do keep it. He's speaking of Israel. But he speaks to us as a believer. I keep you. The prayer. How many in this room, and this is what I mean by write your own Bible. If you were to sit down tonight, and when you got home, and you had a few moments, and maybe over the next week, and you were to start writing every occurrence where God was faithful to you, you would run out of paper. Mm-hmm. You'd have to. Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. You'd run out of paper. But this is the stuff we forget. But if we were to sit, oh my gosh, we could go through it. But unfortunately, this is what happens. And this is what we have to build a wall. A wall, and it's called a testimony. And actually, in Psalms 19, he says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. It makes us wise. We build a testimony. The testimonies are the things that God speaks about himself. We build this testimony, and I can say yes, yes, yes to that. And I build this wall that says, Satan, this is my present condition, but I got to tell you, I didn't get this far because of you. I got this far because of God. And he's faithful or I wouldn't be still alive. He's faithful. You can say, I'm dealing with really tough stuff. Okay, I'm with you. But you're here tonight, which means he's still faithful. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, just a couple of points to talk about what we mean by that. Like, we have to be able to measure faithfulness because we need to be able to say something back to Satan. And how do we measure faithfulness? Well, the first way we measure faithfulness is time. Somebody says, you know what, if I have a new job and I'm an employer or I'm a boss and I hire, Marjorie's going to interview somebody, and Sandy comes and says, I'm faithful. Okay, you haven't even had a day of work. No, but I'm faithful. Why? In our mind, and she says, after a week of work, you see how faithful I am? Well, so-and-so's been here 10 years. Faithfulness is measured by time. God, who is timeless, we are still able to measure him in time. We can measure him and say he has been faithful all of these years. And so therefore, whatever my difficulty is I'm going through now, because of how long he's been faithful to me, I can trust that he will continue to be faithful, even though my situation right now is screaming at me, saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. Think about it this way. If you have two children, one is like 5 years old, screaming to you, you will never have food anymore, we're not going to have this. And the other one's 18, looking at the five-year-old like, I've had it for 18 years. She's provided this long. Do you understand? Mom has provided for 18 years. I wouldn't be here. The five-year-old goes, no, but you don't understand. We don't have anything. We're never going to have food. We're not going to have this. And the 18-year-old says, I'm right here. If mom couldn't have provided for that, why would I be here? Do you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Time. My situation is like the five-year-old screaming at me, telling me, no, it's not going to work. It's not whatever. And God is like, the 18-year-old says, listen, honestly, let's be realistic. Well, I would say that's the Holy Spirit telling me, Latasha, guess what? Hasn't he provided all these years? Hasn't he taken care of things? Has he not? Okay, then don't listen to a five-year-old. Because really, any adult that takes advice from a five-year-old is a fool. Right? Yeah. Right? We don't really take our adult, what should we do next? What are your thoughts? My mom listened, you know, okay, put her to bed. She must be tired. You know, that was the old basic, right? Well, our emotions are like five-year-olds. They like to scream. They're really loud. They really make a lot of attention. They get real, you know what I mean? They're like the loudest one in the room, you know? But they are children. They are not meant to guide me. They're like a child can wake up one day and it's great and you don't know what you're getting. The next day, you don't know what you're getting. Our emotions the same way. I woke up a little dull this morning. I'm trying to think about it. Like, you know, why am I dull? I don't know. But I can't dwell there. That is not a house to dwell in. My emotions change. And as a woman, you go through so many stages and those hormones kick and you have no idea what time of the month, what time of year, what year I am in my life and on. I mean, how? Which way is the wind blowing? There goes my emotions. You know, you can't live there. Okay? Mm-hmm. They are going to scream unfaithfulness to God. They are. They're going to scream a false history of unfaithfulness. It will always be a false history because it'll be a limited one. It can't be the reality. Sometimes I say to myself, Latasha, you will be the first he's unfaithful to because apparently your situation is way above everyone else's. So why don't you let everyone you have declare it, get a t-shirt, that you are the first person that God will be unfaithful to. Amazing. Historically, all through the Bible, he's been faithful, but finally, you got him now. Right? It seems ridiculous. But this is what we do. So we need to build a wall of testimony that says, listen, five-year-old, I love you, but you're not going to rule me. He's been faithful. Don't forget the miracles, ladies. So easy. It's so easy to. That's why God was not so happy with the Israelites in the book of Hebrews. He said, I said that they weren't going to enter into my rest because they kept forgetting. They literally kept forgetting. Numbers 13, he's going to take them to the promised land. He sends 12 spies. 10 come back with this big, oh my gosh, that's big. It's not going to work. Oh my God. And he said, 10 times I've told you it would. He was disappointed. Here's the thing. He's not going to be unfaithful. He doesn't know how. That brings me to my second point. My second point is faithfulness is based upon a record. It has to be perfect. There can be never one occurrence for it to be faithful. Somebody says, oh, I'm faithful in a job, right? Or if you were in school, I know that we used to get, I don't know if they still do it, but they had a special thing if you had perfect attendance. Okay, right, you got a special whatever. You know, one day I might be sick, and I'm trying to crawl my way to school. I'm one day away from like this. And I tell the teacher, but I was sick. I was hospitalized. Yes, but you were missing. Why? Because it needs perfect attendance. God has always had perfect attendance and faithfulness. Amen. And the moment he doesn't, then we can say he's unfaithful. Because you're either faithful or unfaithful. You're never in between. Okay? There's a great proverb that says, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. It's painful. Okay? You put your confidence in somebody unfaithful, it's painful. Okay? Because you're either faithful or you're not. Niasha's favorite verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
Faithful is he who calls you who also will do it.
Faithful is he who calls you who will do it. If he ever doesn't do it, that he's not faithful. So the second thing is we can console ourselves is that he has to have a perfect record. No human has that. Which is why Christ said in John 1, he didn't really trust man, and neither should you. Don't try to make man God, and don't try to make God man. They're so far apart from each other as east is from the west. God is the only one who can be faithful. He's the only one I can take something to and expect faithfulness. Don't go to a man and expect that. It's just not going to happen. All right. The third thing about faithfulness, words. How do we know what faithfulness is, like, except through words? Meaning, like, I will faithfully do this. I will faithfully whatever. Words. We call them promises. Okay? They are in the Bible. I look for things. I have to look for things that God said he'll be faithful about. Okay, God, greater are you that's in me than he that's in the world, that if I draw near to you and resist to Satan, he will flee. These are faithful words I need in a time of trouble. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there has been no temptation taken me, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt me above that which I am able, but that I would be able to bear it. Okay, what he's saying is that God's not going to do it beyond what I can bear. Okay? He's faithful to that. So therefore, that's a promise. When it gets really rough, I can claim that promise. Or how about this? I've committed a sin. I fell in temptation. He didn't make it more than I could bear. I just chose to do it. Okay? Well, do I have a way out? 1 John 1:9. If I tell God, it said he's faithful and just to forgive me. I can live on that word. I'm forgiven. Satan's barking, you're a failure, you messed up, you're crazy, whatever. You're never going to get your life together. And I said, but God said he would be faithful to forgive me. Who am I going to believe today?
God, you better believe God.
Amen. That's history right there. We believe God, okay? Because his word is the only faithful word. His word is the only. Satan can give no promise. All we know that everything he ever promised will end up, and every person who lives that promise will end up in hell. He has no promise to give me that he can keep. Because he has an end and a limit. God is unlimited. I was thinking about, before I came down, I was thinking about in John chapter 11, like, he waits when Lazarus is sick, okay? Then he comes, and they're upset, and they don't know what to do. He says, you know, I'm the resurrection and life. Well, if my brother had not died, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Basically, what he's saying is this, it's not too late. But she didn't understand it. A few verses later, he says, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Here's the thing. That's why, thankfully, he doesn't wait for me to be faithful. He is faithful. He doesn't wait for me to believe, okay? Thankfully, he will be himself. Because if him being faithful is dependent upon my belief, let's go back a point, that means he fails his own record. Because his record is never supposed to be broken. So it can't be dependent upon little old Latasha believing him or not. I'm too small for that. Okay? What did we say? If we believe not, he abides faithful. Very important, ladies. Okay? So he comes and he raises Lazarus from the grave. Because you know what? Only he knows when it would be too late. And when you're faithful, it's never too late. Mm-hmm. Because that is another interesting point for us. Is that, well, I'll get to that. So I would say his promises, the second part of faithfulness is my prayer. Okay, now I know, hey God, you said this. Now I pray it. Hey God, you promised this. Yeah, that's what prayer is. Prayer is when I look at the promises of God and I say, hey, you promised this. And that is what I can depend upon. You take his own words and you use them as leverage to God. He wants you to. Abraham, he was pleading for a wicked city, two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. He wants us to use his words. Moses is pleading for the people down there, and they're not even like, you know, like loving him, right? God wants me to take his promise and take hold of it and hang on to it and say, God, I am hanging on to this. I know my emotions are screaming differently. I know everything's coming against me, but I'm hanging on to this promise, and I'm going to believe it. And that is prayer.
Yes.
Amen. His words and my words. His words are his promises. My words are prayer to him. And I hold on to it. And Joseph did that. In fact, he named his first two-born, and you could tell it was based upon he remembered that God was going to be faithful to him. So, last point I want to make. Well, 2 points I want to say. When I believe, I rest. If I really believe in God's faithfulness, isn't it easy to take your foot off the accelerator and your hands off the steering wheel if he's going to do it anyway? Yeah. But you know, I was talking
so
to someone.
If you have faith, you're not.
Thank you for that driving tip. But, you know, this afternoon I was talking to somebody overseas, and it was, you know, it was there's a decision point this person's at, and I'm like, listen, you can do this, and this will be all about you, or you can give this to God, and it will be all about Him. So which would you rather believe in the strength of? Your own strength or God's strength? If you do it in your strength, you can't claim God's promise. But if you lean on God, you can go in prayer and claim that promise and hold on to it, and you can plead that in prayer. Honestly, it's kind of a no-brainer. Am I going to, ladies, even on our best day, we can't make everything happen. In a best year, I can't, like, even what we were joking about just a minute ago, I can be the best driver in the world. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get hit. I can try to be the safest driver. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get hit. So why in the world would I do that? It's better that I would depend upon God and let him and say, listen, I would rather your consequences than my own. Because you can't break your record. You can't. And I want to plead that. So just a couple of points. I believe and I rest. And then the last we want to say is this. These are the just things, and maybe you can catch yourself. Catch Satan in the act, whispering it in your ear. So these are the little things that maybe say that interrupt us. That one is that God is lying. But he's faithful and true. And he's not a man that he should lie in Numbers 23:19. You know? Has he not said it? Shall he not do it? So are you calling a God a liar? Let's be honest with ourselves. And be honest with it. You know? Sometimes I said, yeah, God, I'm actually not saying it out loud because God knows I don't want to say it. But in my heart, I guess I think that you've lied about this. Be honest with him. He's a loving father. He will give, if you are honest with him in prayer and thought, he will give you an assurance of who he is. He's not going to slap your hand. If you say, God, this, unfortunately, this is where my heart is at. This is what I'm thinking. I don't want to, but I don't, but this is screaming at me, and the situation is really affecting me. So I need a word of comfort here. He'll give you a word of comfort. But be honest, if that is the case, I guess I believe you're lying. Second thing, we might believe that we misunderstood or misheard. It happens. Well, you know, you pray up, like, did I hear not? I like in Luke 24, Christ tells them, hey, listen, they don't know it's Christ. They're two walking on this road after the resurrection, the road to Emmaus. And then he says to them, you know, O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Listen, you can't misunderstand or mishear if you're leaning on things that he has already said in the Bible. Like, if I want, if I'm asking for God's help, I want a verse that he says, if I ask him for bread, will he give me a stone? You see? And so I didn't mishear. Satan said, oh, you misheard. But why? My heavenly Father, he provides for me. He said, seek first him and he'll provide for me. Do you see how I'm giving it back? I give it back so there's no misunderstanding. All that the prophets have said, I give the word back to the projection. I give the word back to my emotion. I give the word back to myself to comfort myself. Okay? The other thing is, we can forget, which is why I said build a wall of testimony. There are some who say that every day I need to wake up I don't care how bad your condition is, there's something to be thankful for. And if you can think of nothing right now, let me tell you, if you're still breathing, God still had a plan.
Amen.
Because otherwise he would just take you. If you're breathing right now, God's got some big plans. That's the first thing to be thankful for, is that he has not given up on you. I don't care if you've given up on yourself. Did you hear me? I actually don't care if you've given up yourself. This is not contingent upon you giving up on yourself. God is uninterested in whether you've given up on yourself. He's a little bit bigger than you are. You know? And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Okay? So, and then the next one is, we can believe sometimes that we can say he's faithful, but we can believe that maybe it lacks power. And that's what happened with Mary and Martha. They believed that Christ wanted to be there. They believed that he came, and that's nice, but they didn't believe that. They believed that he could have prevented Lazarus from getting sick, but he never believed that he could raise Lazarus from the grave. So he believed that he could elevate Lazarus. He believed that he could, they believed that he could, you know, help him up if he was mostly dead. Okay.
How can you be?
They can't be mostly dead. But they never believed that if Lazarus dies, that he could resurrect him. It's amazing. Ladies, it's possible for us to underestimate that if God is faithful, then he is also powerful. He must be. You know, he must be. Because he has to perform the very thing that he's promised for me. And that's going to take some power. So, tonight, our meditation is very simple. When I rest in just who God, that God is faithful, then I automatically know what unfaithfulness looks like. So at any given point where God has given me a promise or what have you, I can rest in that. And then also that I can build my own wall of testimony. It's so important. I have definitely wanted to, by nature, just so you know, I'm what we call a fatalist. And you know what? I sit among a bunch of fatalists because I noticed that Pennsylvanians, by nature, are fatalists. Everything is going to be worse than it is. I've sat with people, and I thought I was a fatalist, but I believe this particular area is full of it, you know? And so we have to tell ourselves we are full of it, okay? And that we have to convince ourselves and say, listen, God is faithful. It doesn't matter. My fatalist thinking. It's never going to change. We're never going to whatever. For those of you, I mean, think about our churches coming together and whatever. Did you see that coming? Because if you did, then I'm going to put a crown on your head and call you God. Because did anyone see? By prayer, maybe, by faith, but only one was faithful. You know? I mean, I was trying to think about it. Like, we just, when I moved to York, it's been barely, not even a year. It's a couple weeks for a year. You know? And I'm thinking, wow. But all that was in my heart, God is doing. And that's amazing to me. But then I think about others who prayed more than a year, who prayed for years. Timing is everything. If I walk up and Christ is going to deliver Lazarus, maybe I walk up just on the scene and Christ is there and he says, I'm going to deliver Lazarus. He says, okay, I have to believe. But then also there's someone who watched Lazarus die and maybe it took months for him to die. And maybe they saw it was a pretty bad death. And maybe they buried him. Now they're standing on the other side of Christ. They have to believe too. And both of us will see the same miracle. But maybe for the ones who've been praying for a while or who watched everything, it will have deeper meaning. But still, God was faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. It's kind of just the sentence to live by. And whenever, if you can't think of anything else, there was a man, and I'll close with this, but he was imprisoned for his faith in communist Russia at that time, Romania rather. And he said, and he had memorized almost the entire Bible. He was an incredible preacher. But they drugged him so much, he forgot it all. And it was like, you could think, well, how is he going to get through? No Bible, no anything. He said the only two words he could remember was, Our Father. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. In Auschwitz, which many know about in Poland, they found etched on the wall in very small print, I believe God, though he is silent. God is faithful. My condition is not a reason to believe it. Lazarus, though it will scream at me, and ladies, we're not going to be perfect at this. One minute we're going to be strong, the next minute we're going to be weak. And I'm saying it's okay to be weak. It's okay to believe incorrectly. But remember, our Father, and he will comfort you while you wait upon him to prove himself. He doesn't beat me up or slap me. He will comfort me while we wait. Isn't that good? That's an amazing God. That honestly, I think God, really, you should be done with me. I should have believed you. I should have believed you. And I see it. But he doesn't. He doesn't like beat me up, so to speak. He comforts me. And he says, I got you. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. And he says, I got you. Maybe I would have been like, you don't believe me? I'm out of here. Lazarus can stay dead. You know, but God says, I got you. Okay? Our God is a faithful God. Any comments, questions, anything?
Well, God is faithful. He's faithful all the time. No matter what you do, he is always faithful to you. He knows what your needs are and how you feel, and he knows that you were just having trouble with certain things. So, he will help you through it. No matter how you think about it, he'll help you through it. So, I just listen. He'll wait.
See? And she's part of our testimony, right? You look at a life, your testimony, that your wall of testimony, your own Bible is about your own life, but also you can look at another life and you can say, okay, I obviously see the faithfulness of God in that person's life, so that can help me believe in my own life.
Because that's why they're not breaking my chest. Because They didn't think that I'd been pulled through there.
And God had another plan. And which is fairly new procedure, right?
Right.
So, I mean, God knows, right? God knows. God is faithful.
Amen.
So what we're going to have then is we're going to let Connie close us out. Oh, you thought you got away, huh? She thought I made a mistake. So I figured the two C's could kind of bookend us here. So let's go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to all come together. Enjoy your word tonight. Study it. Let it be part of our lives.
That's good.
Be with each and every one of us as we leave this evening.
Thanks.
And just help us to relay your word to others that are in need of hearing it, Lord. In your son's precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.